Olgaard.
And Mr. Olgaard, where were you born?
Born on a farm southeast of Cooperstown, North Dakota.
And who were your parents?
My parents were Sven and Hilma Olgaard, well, Hilma Eriksson Olgaard.
And what did they do for a living?
Well, my dad was a mechanic and an all-around gentleman. He was a sheriff of Griggs County at one time. My mother was a homemaker and seamstress.
Mm-hmm. How many children in your family?
There's five boys.
Five boys. Mm-hmm. Were you the oldest, youngest?
I was the oldest.
Okay. And where did you go to school?
Cooperstown. Grade school and high school.
Okay, you graduated from there. And what did you do after high school?
Well, I worked on the farm for a while, and then I finally got a job in town until I, until the civil service draft came along, and then I registered for the draft.
You registered, huh?
Yeah. So I became number 438, and then I waited for the call.
How long did it take after you registered until they called you?
About a year. I was rejected three times because when I was 5 years old, I got hit with a baseball and I'm blind in my right eye. So I served, so I was rejected as a 4F for a while.
But then they did?
Yeah, then finally on the 3rd of November in 42, they sent me down to Fort Snelling and I came home and then they called me back on the Friday the 13th of November 1942. I became a military.
What branch did you go
I was
into?
Army Air Force.
And where did you go for training?
Fort Snelling. I was stationed at Fort Snelling for 21 months and we took our basic training down there in the Minnesota Valley river bottoms in January and February in 43.
I see. And where did you go after Fort Snelling?
Well, I was there for 21 months, and I went to Camp Lee, Virginia, to go to quartermaster school again.
What kind of school?
Quartermaster.
Nice. Yeah. And how long was that school?
Yeah, I was only there about a month. And then they sent us to Camp Reynolds, Pennsylvania, for overseas orientation. And after that, I got a furlough for a week, and then I came home. Then we went to Camp Miles Sandys in Boston and waited for overseas shipment.
And what did you hear?
Well, we were always wondering where we were going because we got issued both tropical and winter clothing. But we went downtown and the bartenders told us we were going to Greenland. But the military told us, well, we wait till 3 days out of sea and then we tell you where you're going. Well, we already knew where we were going. So then we went north, 21 days to Greenland. We stopped at St. John's, Newfoundland, and we were up in the west coast of Greenland and back around it. And so it took us 21 days.
21 days at sea.
Yeah.
Any seasickness?
No, I was lucky. I walked guard once in a while and stuff like that, so I got some fresh air. And that guard duty was watching the destroyers and the Canadian corvettes circle us looking for submarines because we were in what they call torpedo junction.
Really?
And that got interesting.
What was it like those 21 days on the ship? Were you crowded? Was it?
No, I was lucky because we were on a hurricane deck, so that there were three bunks stacked up top, and I happened to be at the top bunk, so I didn't have to worry too much. The one on the bottom once in a while caught it.
Uh-oh. What was Greenland like?
Well, Greenland is a lot like, like here in the summertime. Mm-hmm. It's, they call it Greenland because in the summer it gets a lot of moss and grass and stuff. There aren't any trees or anything, but when the Norwegian explorer came there and he saw that country that way, it was nice and green. And the weather was real nice. In the winter times, if you could live in North Dakota, you have no problem up there.
Yeah. How long were you in Greenland?
I was up there a year and a half. Yeah, from October 44 until March in 46.
And what were your duties in Greenland?
We were in a quartermaster corps, and we took care of the flights coming in and out and servicing the different units up there. Now, we had bases out in the Greenland, what we call outposts. It was up to us to get the food and stuff to them. I happened to be on the main base, so I was lucky.
Any special stories from that time in Greenland?
Well, the most of the time like that, if a plane cracked up, well, it seemed like the first thing the boys went for, it wasn't worrying about who was on it. It was get the plexiglass that we can use that to make souvenirs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the British were up there too with us, and they flew and mosquitoes in and out, and they could come in foul weather and our boys couldn't. So that was one memory we have up there. And then the icebergs. When we landed in Greenland the first night up there, we heard a boom and we thought we were being attacked. And the guy said, no, that's all, that just the iceberg breaking off.
Really?
Glaciers.
Oh, glaciers.
Yeah. See, we had live glaciers and dead glaciers, and the live glacier was about a mile away, and when that broke off a hump, you could hear it.
Awesome. Yeah. I bet that was eerie the first
time.
That was
scary, that's right.
Yeah. Any special buddy stories?
Well, not really. I was the only one from North Dakota up there. I did have some friends from different parts of the United States. And when I got ready to leave, well, the boy that was supposed to take my place didn't have any glasses, so I gave him mine, and he flew home with me. No, we had a lot of fun up there. I had a story up there that got to be a friend with Hank Sore, which is a Northern New York Giants football player and a big league umpire. And we had a lot of people coming and going, so we got to meet quite a few dignitaries because we were the main base between the United States and England.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the food like?
Good. We were in a quartermaster, so we had choice. Once in a while, when a ship would come in, we'd have midnight requisition so that we'd have steaks.
Oh, not too bad.
No.
What happened after your time in Greenland? Where did you go?
After that, well, then I got sent home for discharge. So on March 20th, 1946, I was in Camp McCoy, Greenland, Camp McCoy, Wisconsin, and got discharged.
Yeah. Why so early?
Well, they were getting rid of all of us.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Most of the boys. I was a little late. Most of them went home in 45, but
okay.
I happened to go back on R&R one time, so they stayed an extra couple months.
Yeah. And how long were you in Fort McCoy, Wisconsin?
Just a week. Just a week.
Okay.
Just long enough to process us and get us out of there.
I see. And then home we went from there.
Yeah.
Back to Cooperstown?
Well, I stopped in Minneapolis for a little while to see the guy. And we did have it, when we landed from Greenland to go to Camp McCoy, we stopped in Boston and we took a train to Chicago and then up to Camp McCoy, and the funny part of it was, we had the Army Air Force on our side, and the other part of the crew was the Navy Waves. So we had to entertain all the way back to Camp McCoy.
Any special stories you want to share?
Well, when I was in Fort Snelling, we had 3,500 Nisi, Japanese Americans down there, and we had a lot of Nisi boys with us in Fort Snelling. And I got to know quite a few of them, and I corresponded with them until a couple of them have passed away now. But those were the kind of guys, the people talk about the Japanese, but they were loyal soldiers, and we organized the unit and got the boys together and gave them the clothing and set them up as a unit, and then they went down for training, and they're the most decorated unit in the United States Army. Mm-hmm. They were on Italy and captured, I think it was Anjo Beachhead. Mm-hmm. So I have one side to tell, and the other, a lot of people are mad because we were fighting.
Absolutely.
And the boys we were with in Fort Snelling, named George Masanaga, his parents were split up. One was in Idaho and one was in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
After the war, after discharge, he went home, and the government had taken away his truck garden and his orchard. But they went back to work, and he retired at 55.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And none of them were ever on relief. Yeah.
They had a certain amount of days that they were serving? Is that what you're saying?
The Japanese?
Yeah.
No, they served like the rest of us. Oh, they volunteered like we did, or were drafted like we were.
Yeah.
Except they were drafted, but their parents were put in concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think you'll read about that now that they're trying to help some out on some of them. But it was tough for them, too.
Yeah.
But they were loyal citizens.
Did you attend any reunions?
No, we haven't. I was never attached to any basic unit. Mm-hmm. And they never did have anything up in Greenland. But see, when we were attached to Fort Snelling, we just a detached, what they call detached service. Mm-hmm. So we didn't serve as any quartermaster company, that was all it was.
Yeah. How did you feel about leaving the military when you did?
Well, at that time I was wondering if I should stay or not, but there wasn't anything like it is today. All it was infantry or something like that, and the pay wasn't any good, so we just got out of it. Mm-hmm. We were just glad to get home.
Sure.
Yeah.
Served your time? And
served our time, yeah. Yeah, I had 3.5 years in the Army, even as a 4F.
Mm-hmm. Now a 4F is?
That's you're unfit for military duty. You had some physical difficulty or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you left, you had the final rank of Staff Sergeant?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I left, I was the only, when I left Greenland, I was the only sergeant of the organization because they were discharging him. And our captain wasn't, I don't know, he just didn't seem to follow up. So I was the only staff sergeant when I left. They didn't have any headquarters company took him on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one memory we had up there. And we had our colonel up there, he had a wax mustache, we call him Colonel Waxy. And there were a time, one time up there, we lived on Spam and fruit cocktail. Mm-hmm. Because the ships couldn't come in, because they come up the fjord. When we left Boston, we came up, up around, and when we hit Juliana Hob to go up to Greenland and on that fjord, the icebreakers, the east wind and the west wind and the Coast Guard were breaking the ice for us. So that was something to watch, how they'd go up on the ice and break the ice and follow. So that's why it took us 21 days to get back to our base.
Yeah. Unbelievable. What were those machines like that broke the ice like that?
They were big ships. I don't know, you don't see much of them around the country at all. But all they were, about a medium-sized ship, and they were steel hulls in a double screw, so when they'd push up on the ice and then they let it sink. Then they'd back off and push up on the ice and let it sink.
Interesting.
And I remember doing that, why the Eskimos would come running out to greet us, and we'd sit and throw tin cans at them or food and stuff. And so we had a lot of fun. Yeah, the Eskimos are they're quite the people.
Are they?
Very efficient, yeah. It's run by the Danes.
Mm-hmm.
So we did get to visit some of those places.
Interesting. And what did you do after you left the military?
Well, then I came back to North Dakota and went back to work where I was. Back to work for pennies. And during the war, my mother got a check for $15, $5 a month for spending money. Of course, she put it in the bank for me.
Nice.
And then when I came back, I went back to work for there. And mm-hmm. Well, then during the process, I went to my brother's wedding one time. I met a girl, and after that, we found each other. And
the girl in the other room there?
That's the girl in the other room, yeah. Yeah.
So how many? How many years have you been married?
51.
Oh, well,
what,
congrats.
Not quite 50.
Not quite 50. I will be 51.
Well, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. What a milestone.
Yeah. And it's quite a milestone, yeah.
And you have two children?
We have a boy and a girl. Yeah. Both live in town.
Any grandchildren?
One little boy, yeah. One little boy, yeah.
Nice.
So.
So how long did you work at JCPenney?
7 years.
7 years.
I worked there before a while, and then I came back. And when I came back, we had a manager that, I don't know, he didn't. See, I used to speak Norwegian, and when I talked to the customers, he thought I was talking about them. So we and I got in a disagreement, and I went to work for a competitor.
Who was that?
A model clothing company in Cooperstown.
It's
a gentleman that had a good clothing store.
Okay. And then I see you were also in customer service manager at Dakota Electric?
Yeah. When I, after a while with courting artists, we got married, and I moved on to Fargo here, because she was working for Mother Ma Bell. And I went to work for Dakota Electric on my birthday and stayed there until, was it February of 82, wasn't it? Yeah. And I was customer service manager, mm-hmm. That was taken care of. Well, you know what that's like.
Yep, dealing with the people,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Taking care of problems. So you retired in 1982?
Yeah.
And what have you been doing since your retirement?
Well, I tell you what, there's plenty to do because we have volunteered at the Sons of Norway and volunteered church, and I was with the ACRA team for 11 years. If you ever heard of them.
Yeah. What did you do for them?
Well, I was president for a while and a fundraiser, and our daughter was part of it. That's how I got involved.
Great team.
Yeah. So that's a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd go to the ball games and whatever the kids were in, band concerts.
Sure.
So we kept busy. Yeah. Like I tell the guys, I should get a job so I get some time off.
Get some vacation in there.
Yeah. Oh no, we've traveled a lot. I think we've covered most of the states, haven't we, artists, and quite a few provinces. We've been to Norway and we've been to Hawaii and we've covered Europe. So
good for you. Yeah. That's great.
Instead of buying a big beautiful home when we spend our money traveling.
Good for you. That's terrific.
Yeah.
What do you think about the war that we're fighting now in Afghanistan?
Well, I just don't understand what we think. I don't understand what we're trying to do because we're looking for somebody we can't find,
mm-hmm.
and all we're doing is irritating the people over there. And I think it's time that we just pull in our horns and mm-hmm. wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think we'd see a day like that, September 11th?
No.
You ever think you would see that?
No, we never did. We couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We did see it. Remember, Artis? We just couldn't believe that anybody would be crazy enough
mm-hmm.
to do it. But after we saw how those buildings were built, and then we could understand how the plane could cause all that trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, I remember Pearl Harbor too, so.
Mm-hmm.
And that was against the military, but this one was against the citizens. And,
mm-hmm.
No, it's no fun.
And your military experience started long after Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, that was in December 7th, 41, and
yeah.
I was in October, I mean November of 42.
Yeah.
I had three brothers in the service, a pair of twins who were in Italy and Germany, and my other brother was in the Philippines and Japan.
And what branches were they in?
Well, they were in, they went into the Air Force and ended up in the Army, and my other brother was in the Coast Guard trailer out of Moorhead here,
mm-hmm.
and they were on station out in California for years, for a long time, and he ended up in the Army over there in the Philippines with General MacArthur, and then they were going to invade Japan. He said, "Thank God that they had the atomic bomb; otherwise, we would have been in real tough shape."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did they all fare? Did they come home?
We all came home, right. We all came healthy.
Good.
And we were lucky. We didn't lose anybody in the family I know of artists, as far as the war goes.
So of five brothers, four of you served?
Yeah, the other one had infantile paralysis, so he couldn't get in.
Yeah.
He wanted to, but he couldn't get in.
Amazing.
Then I had a cousin that was going into Pearl Harbor that night, but they didn't go in that night because they didn't want to try to get in by ship. Gonna wait till morning, and that's when they hit, so they were on the outside watching it come in. Yeah.
What was it like coming back from your time in the military?
Well,
World War II was the popular war.
Did
you get that hero's welcome that everyone else got?
No, they didn't even know I came home.
Really?
No,
in quiet, huh?
The first boys that came home did, but
yeah.
The rest of us, no, they just, are you home, huh? So that's the way
mm-hmm.
it went. But now, after 50 years, they're going to build us a memorial. The hell, we'll all be dead before it gets built.
Yeah, it's too bad it took this long for them to decide to do
that. Most of the World War II boys feel the same way, that who needs it now after all these years. But then if they want to build it, let them build it. Yeah.
Do you remember the day you came home? Do you remember seeing Mom and Dad?
Yeah, I remember that because when I was in Fort Snelling, we had a good deal. When every time I got a three-day pass, well, I could go down and train in St. Paul on Saturday, Friday afternoon, evening, and I'd be in Hanford, and then my dad from Cooperstown would come and get me, and I'd be home before my pass started.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd get on Sunday night and be back in time for Rebel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we had made, and we were in Fort Snelling. We were in the quartermaster corps. We met trains and all that stuff, so we had it. One thing I remember there, we had two DPs. One was Stefanovic, his name was Stefanovic.
And now, what's a DP?
The displaced person.
Okay.
They were Germans under surveillance, they were. And he was a tailor, so he tailored our jackets, so we had ice jackets, but they were made over jackets. Mm-hmm. And Allmiller, the other DP, was a cook from Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. And he made some, see, we had civilians eating with us at Fort Snelling, mm-hmm. and he'd make up the desserts and stuff.
Ooh.
So we were treated royally.
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, no, I have no complaints. I said I was one of the lucky ones. We just, mm-hmm. I went through, and like my brother told me, keep your eyes open, and ears open, and mouth shut. And he said, you'll get along good, and don't volunteer. Mm-hmm. So we learned the hard way, but we got by. Mm-hmm. No, I had a lot of friends. And, of course, in Fort Snelling, we were in the main office. Well, we had a lot of civilians working there. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of girls who were typists and secretaries mm-hmm. and stuff. And we had civilian men on the Cardex system, so we... And they would sit and eat with us, too. And then we had, well, I don't know, I think my wife has seen our menus that we have for Christmas parties and stuff. I should have brought one up and showed you.
What was it like?
We lived like, well, we lived with what's called garrison rations. And that was regular food for everybody. Otherwise, it's field rations. And then, of course, they're out there making food for you. Mm-hmm. But these boys, we had some good cooks.
That's nice. Good people to know.
And we didn't pull KP either. We pulled guard duty once in a while.
No KP, huh?
No KP. No, we had permanent KPs. Okay. Each put in $1 a month, and they did that. They were on one day on and 3 days off. And then when I was in Fort Snelling, when the boys from Cooperstown would come through the induction station, when I found out about it, I'd bring them up to our place because we had a big day room. And a pool table and all that, so they come up and they could enjoy themselves.
Nice.
So I got to see the lads coming through the Army, too. Yeah. No, I was lucky.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Good to hear someone who had a good story.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I had a lot of relatives in St. Paul, Minneapolis, too, so I could go on weekends and visit. I didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
No, we had a pretty good, I had a good friend, too, that, and then when we met troop trains, well, They'd come through and needed gas. How many? Well, we need 30 gallons. Well, all we got is 50 gallons. Well, we'll give you the 30 and we'll take the 20 back home, and then we put naphthalene in it, and then we'd put it in our cars. So there was all kinds of tricks in there too. You know, the food was good, and we had good officers, and you know, that was quite a deal.
That's great.
And then we had a big field house, and Lawrence Welk would come every year and play for us, and Sigmund Romberg would come, and we had good entertainment.
Mm. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. And that's just what Lawrence Welk would say, too,
yeah.
Right?
Wonderful. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he saw to it. He was the only one that did. Mm-hmm. No, it was, we were in North Atlantic Air Transport Command up in Greenland, and but we were doing service of planes as they went through.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to meet quite a few people.
Yeah. Any final thoughts before we wind up the...
No, I think... I can't remember anything that's special except that we had... Well, I was lucky, like I said. We had Class A passes. We could come up and go to St. Paul, Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. The only trouble was we had to ride the dark on streetcars or taxis, and mm-hmm. that wasn't always available.
Yeah.
But, and then we had a lot of good boys, and we had good food, good officers.
Mr. Olgaard, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I don't know. Just that I served my duty, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Served your country?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your duty?
I was just kind of lucky that I got a chance to do it,
mm-hmm.
being with only blind in one eye.
That's exceptional.
A lot of people don't believe it, but that's the way it went.
That's exceptional.
Yeah, yeah, and no, I enjoyed myself because, well, you just make use of it and do what you had to do. And
mm-hmm.
you see, there was nothing in here. Oh yeah, one I remember one Japanese boy called Fred Manji. He was a drill sergeant, and we get the 90-day wonders down to Fort Snelling to come in there. And every time we went downtown, we'd have to salute him on the way. And well, one night he was after saluting too much, so the next day he was the drill sergeant. There was all morning long. It was 50 minutes on and 10 minutes off. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't any saluting after that. That's one thing I remember is being with the Japanese boy's daughter and then surprising what kind of people they really were.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think I'm nuts, but then that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm. You saw a totally different side to them than others saw.
They were good, loyal ones, Jill. They did their duty. I know one, Yoshida, Jimmy Yoshida from Hawaii, he came back a quadriplegic from Italy. So, no, that was interesting. I can't kick.
Mm-hmm. With four of her five sons in the service, your mother must have been thrilled with every one of you coming back.
Yep. She had this flag with the four stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they, boy, I did come home from what they call an R&R out of Greenland, and I ended up at Fort Sam Houston, Texas. So we were going to go out and fight forest fires up in California, but all of a sudden they decided, no, you better go back to where you came from. And so I ended up in Bangor, Maine, what we used to call 20 miles from 20%, because your 20% was overseas pay. The only thing is, you start out at $21 a month. That was any fun.
Any other special memories you want to share?
No, not that I... I think meeting the different people coming through the... in a barracks here, they had three of the up there. We had the houses were square like this, and the shower room and everything was, the latrine was in the middle, so we have to run out in the cold to take care of it. Then we had Finlanders with us too, and every time they'd open up them darn windows and try to freeze us out.
Aww.
But we got along with them, and they got along with us. And well, we did have Germans up in Greenland. They were weathermen up at the ice cap. And when we did capture them, they were like we were. I knew enough Norwegian, so a few words I could talk to them. And they brought their dogs back with them, and we got along good with them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we saw what the maps they had, I think, every dark on stone marked. So they knew what was going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were nobody to fool with. They were great guys. I wasn't great guys, but we had to fight with them anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. But I often wondered, because we had in Greenland, the base was on the base, what we call a marine, where the fjords and stuff empty were. Now we had big 500,000 gallon tanks of gas up above us. If they dropped one bomb in there, we would have been gone just like that. But they never did. Well, here's a few pictures you want to take a look.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Allgaier.
And it's...